here, right? We woke up this morning. We have a mighty God. We serve a mighty God. Hallelujah. One day, he's coming soon, amen? That's exciting. Woo! That's exciting. Where joy shall never end. Imagine that. Amen. Where joy shall never end. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, Jesus. You're so good, Lord. Thank you, Father. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Woo. Your love is so amazing, Lord. Thank you for your grace, Father. Thank you for your mercy. Your love is so amazing. Amen. How many have been rescued by his love? We've been rescued by his love. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh,
Relationship with Jesus Christ. Personal. Nobody can take that away from you. Nobody can take that away from you. Some people wonder why I'm always so excited and happy and why am I so hyper? I must have a double shot before I come here. And you know what? He rescued me. I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I could talk to God like any time of the day. I have personally, he touched my heart and he brought me back out of the darkness. I don't know how many of you have been in darkness, but it's not fun. It's not something that helps. And so, Lord, so I'm just so thankful for the Lord because I have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. He restored me. How many have been restored? Hallelujah. He broke those chains. He broke those strongholds in my life. He broke those chains that were holding me back. He broke those chains that kept me in darkness. And you know what? I can't help but sing. I can't help but praise him and thank him every single day. Because I remember where I was. We can't forget where we came from. But we can't stay there. Amen? We need to move forward and overcome in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's given us the tools. So, Lord, we sing and praise you this morning. We worship you. Because we're not where we were. You see us, Lord. You adopted us into the kingdom of God. So, Lord, I thank you for that personal relationship with you, Lord. Holy Spirit, I thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Because you are all I need. I don't need what this world has to offer. Believe me, I've tried. I don't need it. I need you, Lord. I need you.
Oh. Hallelujah. Jesus, we do acknowledge that you reign over everything, Lord, over every circumstance, over every situation, Lord Jesus, and we look to you. Lord, you are the rock of our salvation. You are the hope that we look to. And Lord, right now we just acknowledge that you are great, you are a mighty King, and our Savior in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Thank you, worship team. A beautiful presence of the Lord here this morning. Just want to welcome you here to Neighborhood Church. We have a few announcements to bring to your attention. We have a wonderful guest speaker here this morning, the Reverend Dean Elders, all the way from North Carolina. And his beautiful wife, Judy, is here this morning. It's so good to see you, too. You're home away from home. Also, ladies, you're having a Bible study here beginning this Tuesday, April 12th at 1 p.m. Here in the Fellowship Hall. If you have not signed up yet, if you just get in the mood, just come on Tuesday. If you don't have a book, we will get you a Bible study book and make sure that you have that. Next Sunday, we have our Resurrection Day service. Our kids are going to be performing in a kids choir next Sunday morning for a part of the service, and it's going to be a blessing. They've been working on that for quite some time now. Also, on April 13th, happy birthday, Steve. Oh, you. We're skipping those. Happy birthday, Steve, on April 13th. And lastly, for those who can make it, we're just going to, on this Wednesday morning at 7 a.m., all the guys say 7 a.m. This is just a start. We may do one in East County for those who don't want to drive, but at 7 a.m. at Duffy's, what are you going to do down there? Well, they have decent coffee, and if you want to eat, you can eat. And we're going to have a get-together with the men who'd like to get together. You know, for a lot of guys, that's before their workday starts, hopefully. If it's not, we're going to find some times. But you know what? The ladies, they have their Tuesday thing at 1 o'clock. And I thought, you know what, guys? Let's get together. Pastor Tom called the guy that owns Duffy's, and we reserved the back room back there. And we don't have to clean up. We don't have to cook. We can just be together and have a good time. If God's laid some scripture on your heart, because I don't know how many we'll share, but if he's laid a little something on your heart, we're just going to encourage one another, strengthen one another. Just be together for a short time Wednesday morning at 7 a.m. Amen. There's one prayer request. I bring this couple up often, but my friend Kenny and Barb, he is going through chemo again, but this time it's quite a doozy that he's going through, and they're at home right now. He's had a very rough week, and I told them that we're going to pray for him. If you have a prayer need as well, if you'd lift up your hand, anybody here? We've got several needs represented here. Let's take these needs to the Lord here, and then afterwards we're going to turn the service over to Dean. Please don't forget that we do receive our tithes and offerings in the back on the way out the door. If you would like to be a blessing to Dean and Judy Elders, I know that they are a blessing. They are just a mighty dynamic couple in the Lord, and I'm looking forward to God's message this morning. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much just for the family of God. Thank you, Lord, that for each hand that was lifted up, Lord, Lord, I thank you that you are intimately acquainted with each and every one of us, the circumstances that we're in. And God, right now, we just acknowledge as the body of Christ that with God, nothing is impossible. Lord, I pray right now for my friends Kenny and Barb, Lord, and for all these uplifted hands right now, we pray for healing, strength, courage. Lord, the overflowing of the power of the Spirit of God, Lord, just to saturate every life in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, we thank you for Dean and Judy Elders. Thank you for bringing them back home for the season. And God, we just pray for a mighty anointing to rest upon him and Judy. And Lord, as he preaches the Word of God, may he preach freely and may our hearts be wide open to the ministry of your Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Brother Dean, let's welcome him here to the pulpit as he comes to minister the Word of God.
I see a whole lot of new faces that I don't recognize. But when we get to heaven, I'll know all your names. How's that? I won't have to try and figure it out. Yeah, it's good to be here. We've been having quite a time for the last couple of years, haven't we?
Yes, that's right.
How many of you have had to make a few adjustments the last couple of years? Yeah, we have. That's just the way it's been, isn't it? Well, I want to talk to you this morning and share some things out of the Word of God with you. Amen. In North Carolina, right now I just started a men's group, actually. I only was into it 4 weeks, and we were coming here for three. I didn't want to do that, but because when you start something, you want to, you know, get it founded and get things rolling. But the brothers are there carrying on, and they're praying for us, and we appreciate that. We're in a church called Sunrise Ministries. We don't have Sunday service. We have Friday night service, and so our Sundays are our Fridays. So anyway, that leaves the weekends free. The pastor travels and preaches in other places, and so as we get acquainted in the area, we trust that that's going to happen for us too. We believe it, and that's pretty exciting. You know, lots of adjustments, because I went 8 months and never preached a bit. That's hard for a preacher, you know.
It's hard for a preacher's wife.
And thank you. That was my next line, and you stole it, you know. Yep, I put Judy in the bedroom, and I put my pulpit up there, and I speak to the congregation, and away we go, you know. And the good thing, she says amen once in a while. She keeps me going. Hallelujah. So anyway, we're excited about what God is doing, and enjoying the journey. As we're here this week, they're actually turning the spade on the property to build our house, and we're thankful for that. We've been waiting a year for that, and after changing three pieces of property, we finally have one. So onward and upward, I guess, huh? Yes. Onward and upward. Why don't you open your Bible, if you would, please, to Isaiah chapter 60, verse 2. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 2. I want to talk to you a little bit this morning about darkness and light. I have a whole lot of things in my heart for you. Let's see, you have another church that meets here, right? At 2, so we can go to 155. Huh? They'll be here, no worries. Anyway, I want to talk to you a little bit about us as a church, the church worldwide, the world condition that we're in, what the kingdom of darkness is doing, and how we should be confronting and living in the kingdom of God, and how to be victorious. Has anyone experienced a little bit of despondency in the last couple of years? How many of you have experienced a little bit of questioning in this last couple of years? How many of us have experienced changes that have come upon you that you didn't want? Belief structures that are forced upon you that you didn't want? Things that come and would come upon us. Listen, there has been... Let me talk to you a little bit. In the last 4 or 5 years especially, there has been a moving of the kingdom of darkness that has come upon the earth in dimensions that we have not experienced before. And men in power who have mindsets of evil and mindsets that are against God, when they are in those places of authority, it releases darkness, it releases things upon the people in the nations of the earth. Amen. And we, the Church of Jesus Christ, we have a belief, we have a set belief structure. We have a God that we serve. We have a God that is a God of liberality. We have a God that is a God of truth. And we have a God, amen, that sets people free and causes them to live not under bondage, but in life and in liberty, and live in ways of serving God in peace.
Amen.
Come on, say amen. And so we find that the kingdom of darkness has come, and it is seemingly putting a huge pressure and a huge stress, especially upon the leaders in the kingdom of God. For even in this house, the servant of the Lord has been under great duress at times. There's been great questionings in his heart. There's been great questionings in his spirit and looking to God. But I have a word for you this morning, Pastor Steve. It is in Psalms, and it says, "Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress, when I was pressured, when I was things put upon me." There is an enlargement that's coming to your own spirit. I would say to you, I'm coming to enlarge your message. It will be not only a message of salvation, but it will be the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen, in the last days, we must understand, servants of the Lord, we must preach the kingdom of power. We must preach and live like God wants us to live. Come on, say amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I haven't even got to the message yet. Here we go. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 2. He says here, "For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth." And then he says, "Gross darkness, the people." Two different things. Darkness, the earth. Gross darkness, the people. But then he gives us a hope here. "But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee." Now, I'm going to take some very negative things this morning and try and wrap it up with some positiveness, some things of how to deal with this, okay? Darkness will cover the earth. The word darkness, if you're taking notes this morning, it means darkness. We know what darkness is, but figuratively speaking, it also means misery. Do you think the Ukrainian church is experiencing any misery? Do you think those, amen, who have had the COVID and had lots of questions in their mind, shall I live or shall I die? Are they not in misery? It's because darkness is upon the land. It says, it means also destruction. When darkness comes, destruction happens in many ways. Destruction happens in a family situation. The darkness comes and families don't understand, and separation can come, and it's very destructive to the human that God has put in design for marriage and so on. It means death. It means ignorance. In other words, darkness is connected to ignorance. The word of God says, "My people shall what? Be destroyed for a lack of what? A lack of knowledge." And so God wants us to have, amen, a knowledge of the word of God. If there's ever a time when we've needed the word of God, it is now. It is now, because there are forces and there are things that come against your mind, and they try to squeeze your mind, and they try to say, conform, 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 conform to this. Don't get outside of it. If you can't conform, I will remove you from the scene. You won't have a voice. I will put you away. That's what media does. That's what darkness does. Conform. But the Bible says, be not, amen, conformed in your thinking, but be renewed in your mind. Be renewed in your spirit. Be renewed. How do we do that? By the word of God. What does the word declare? Transformed. I'm not a worm anymore. I'm a butterfly. That's what the word transform means. Metamorphosis. Hallelujah. All right. Darkness. Ignorance. Sorrow. And the last meaning I want to give you is wickedness. When darkness is prevalent, it opens the door for all kinds of wickedness. And when leaders will not stand up for the truth, when government officials don't stand up for truth, it releases wickedness in ways that affects society. And so society pays the price for the wickedness that is released upon it. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. We must learn to live in the kingdom of God. We've been removed from darkness. We've been brought into the kingdom of God, which is the kingdom of light. Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. Who hath what? Delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath what? Translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Delivered us. I'm going to give you a definition of this. He's delivered us means that he's drawn us to himself. Drawing us unto himself. That's how what he means to be delivered. He's drawing us from the influence of the kingdom of darkness. He's drawn us to himself. That who is the one self is Jesus. That's who he's drawn us to. He's rescued us. Then it says from the power. The word power is the word delegated influence and jurisdiction. You see, the strength of the kingdom of darkness is sin. The strength of the kingdom of darkness is sin. When you are in sin and without Christ, you are under the control of the kingdom of darkness. Amen. And when people, well, listen, Christians, when we expect government officials to act the way that we think they should act, if they are in the kingdom of darkness, they are ruled by sin, they are ruled by the devil.
Right. Amen.
And you can't expect great things and good things out of a ruling devil.
Right.
It seems to me that he comes to kill, rob, destroy, and take away. He doesn't add to you, he takes away.
Mm-hmm.
All right, what's he do? Deliver us from the power of darkness, the jurisdiction, the mastery of it, the rights over us. And then he says he's translated us, okay? There's been a transferring from one kingdom to the other. And how does that happen? Without shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. There is no removal of sins. So a man or a woman must receive Christ in order for sin to be removed. Can you say amen?
Amen.
But as soon as sin is removed, man, my skull has escaped like a bird out of the snare of the fowler, and if I could run... I'm too old to run now, so I'll go like this. This is the fat man. This is the old man run. Are you with me? I'm removed from that darkness, and I'm removed to light. I'm removed into the kingdom of God. Now I have to learn how to live here.
Amen.
I have to learn how to live here. And it's out from under the control of this darkness. Okay? Let's go on in Isaiah 60, verse 2. We'll tie it together here. So there's the darkness that's going to cover the earth. That's one thing. See, we're not talking about locality here. We're talking about the whole of the earth. What we've been through and what we're going through in these last couple of years has affected the whole earth.
Amen.
Not just America, but the whole earth.
Yes.
We need to stop and think about that. If this thing is affecting the whole earth, this is more than just a disease. This is about the kingdom of darkness shaking. The kingdom of darkness saying, I want to control. I want to spread my darkness. These people are mine. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful more every day for my salvation. I'm thankful that God seemed fit to reach down to little old me and take me and say, come to me and let's deal with this sin and let's get you out of here. Gross darkness. The word gross darkness is talking about gloom, to droop. Gloom, partial or total darkness. It's really talking about a state of depression or despondency. We got people that live on our street that have not been out of their house for 2 years. They're afraid to get out of the house because they're going to die. They're afraid to get out of the house because whatever's out there is so big, it's going to take me over and take me off the planet. They live in a state of depression or despondency. They have a dark or a somber even appearance about them. There's no hope. They're lost. They're depressed. They're despondent. That's what gloom, that's the gross darkness that comes upon the people. It affects the individual. The other is more talking about the whole of the earth. This is talking about the individual, the darkness that comes and the darkness that attacks and the darkness that would, try to rule the individual life. And during this season and during this time, the voices have arisen and said, you must do this, you must do that, you can't go here, you can't do that. And all it has done is brought people into a place of bondage. It has brought people into a state of mind that they can't wrestle with it. They don't know how to deal with it. But the person in the kingdom of God, listen, we have hope. And we not only have hope, we have the Word of God. It teaches us how to live, amen, in victory. It teaches us how, amen, to walk in this world, but not be a part of it, but be people who have victory and have joy in your heart. Yes. The kingdom of God is not meat nor drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's the kind of kingdom that we live in. Peace means you are joined to God. How much better can that be? I don't know about you. I don't know how people sleep at night with what's going on with no peace in their heart. It's miserable. But God is good, isn't he? God is good. I just went through 4 pages of notes and everybody said... Let's take a look at what some of the darkness that has been released upon the earth here a little bit, upon the people. You'll identify with these things and then we'll carry on with it, okay? You know, we have forced medical applications, unproven vaccinations. Mandatory. You'll not be granted in access to different places, restaurants, doctors, dentists, even now. You know, you go in, they take your temperature, they look at you, stick your tongue out, and they do all the things, check your socks and everything to let you in the door. Something else, the right to assemble. It's not only just been the church settings, sports events, all kinds of things, weddings, all kinds of things have been put on hold and changed and absolutely shattered because of that whole thought process. The thing that we have to, as the church, is to look at, we need to look at how this is attacking the church of Jesus Christ and how it's coming against the Word of God. Because when you look at that from that standpoint, then you know what you're dealing with and how to handle it. Because you know what it's coming against. Okay? Forced acceptance of evil and wickedness. Forced acceptance of lifestyles. My sister-in-law is here this morning, and I got the opportunity to spend a few little minutes with her, and she was talking about her job and all the wonderful ugliness that's going on and how she's trying to deal with it. Forced acceptance of ways of thinking. Forced acceptance of what was illegal, it has become legal and is now the accepted norm. I used to, and I still, there's this word I use, and I call it gradualism. Gradualism is like, let me explain what gradualism is. Gradualism is something new comes along, and it sounds really good, and then, you know, you kind of accept it, you kind of move into it, and then it becomes the norm. And then something else comes along. You know, it's really great If you lose your keys to the car, you make a phone call, and somewhere around the world, they can push a button and unlock your car so you can get in. That's a pretty cool thing, don't you think? It is a cool thing. And then your house, you get locked out of your house. You can push a button and let you in your house. But that just keeps growing and growing and growing and growing, and then who knows what the next button will be.
That's right.
And what it will do. It's gradualism. Forced educational teachings. Parents must sign away their right to know what the teachers are teaching the children. Wow. I remember going to school and just trying to learn to read was hard enough. History of the nation being rewritten, taught with another reality. This will, of course, change human behavior. You aren't going to change human behavior by an outside force. Human behavior must be changed from the heart, inside out, not outside in.
That's right.
And Jesus is the only one that can do that. Forced belief structures that affect your daily lifestyle. We've got the whole male and female marriage lifestyles and all these things going on. Children given the opportunity to be either male or female. You know, we just got a text, Judy just got a text the other day. England has just passed a law, made it illegal to pray for a person who has an alternative lifestyle. You can go to jail because you pray for that person. When we were in Sweden, all children are born, they are not born male or female, they have another term for it. Do you remember what that is? It was newt or something like that. All children are newts. You're not male, you're not female, you're just a bunch of newts. Jeez. You know, these are the realities of what's going on in our world. And it's because of darkness, okay? It's because of darkness. The ever-changing lifestyle that's being tracked. You know, we teach about the 666 and all of this. If we get your phone out, you are being tracked.
Amen.
You're not only being tracked, all of your information is being recorded.
Amen.
When you take a picture and you're having fun with your picture, that picture is stamped with a time and a date and an address and where you're at. You're being tracked right now. It's just snuck up on you, and it's called the old iPhone, and it's a wonderful thing, and I love it 1 minute, and I hate it the next. Anybody agree with what I'm saying? All right. You know, but that's some of the things that's going on. Fear. Fear is one of the biggest things that's hit our society. Fear. Fear to go to the grocery store. Now listen, just listen to this. Fear to go to the grocery store. I go to Walmart there in Franklin, and you got all these people pushing the blue carts around. And man, they're putting groceries in them, and then they're taking them out and putting them in people's cars so they don't have to come in and be exposed to people. You know, the question I have about is, this is a really good thing, but how long will it be before the government says, well, you know, because of food shortage, we're going to ration everybody. You got to get your food from the blue cart. It's just sneaking up on us is all it's doing. Boy, I'm giving you a real picture of hope here, am I not? The fear of death, fear of just greeting one another, fear of contact, fear of our future. You know, all kinds of fears that are come upon there. The Bible says that God has not given us the what? Spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind or self-control. Fear is not of God. Fear is an enemy that comes with the darkness, amen, to rob people and steal people of life itself. Listen, and we cannot let that grab a hold of us and rule our life. Because why? Because we're not ruled by the kingdom of darkness. We're not ruled by the devil. I am ruled by God himself. I'm ruled by how he thinks, by what he's going to do, and what he is going to give me, and how I'm going to do it. That's who we're ruled by. When you gave your life to Christ, what did you do? You gave yourself to him. I have a new Lord. I have a new master. His name is Jesus. He's benevolent. He'll spank me, but he'll get me up and make me go again. Anybody experienced anything like that? Boy, I'm glad I'm not alone. But that's who our God is. If he wouldn't do that if he didn't love us. All right. 1 Peter 5, 7 and 9. 1 Peter 5, 7 and 9. Scripture, you know very well. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Then he says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking what? Whom he may devour. Okay? Then he tells us, whom resist steadfastly in the what? In the faith. Okay? Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. The word devour is an interesting word. It means to drink down or gulp entirely. To drink down or gulp entirely. When you get into defining the meaning of the word fear, and when you look at, I'm not going to take the time to go through all these scriptures this morning. Just listen to me. When you look at this from a scriptural point of view, God tells us not to fear. He gives us an answer for that. But he says in Israel, when they were to go to battle, many times they had fearful hearts. And the word fearful, it actually is talking about liquefying your heart. In other words, your heart is not stable. It is, you're not throwing up a standard against the devil. You are encapsulated by fear. It liquefies your heart. And when you read this scripture, because the devil, what, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour or gulp up. In other words, you open your life up for him to basically just gulp you up like him taking a big drink of you, amen, because you have no standard against him. In Jude chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, it talks about the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. I want to walk in the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Amen. That's right. The apostolic teachings, the apostolic word that was given to us, amen, unadulterated, not taken away, not thrown away, and say, we'll believe this. No, let's see what God said in the beginning. Let's take the gospel in the beginning and let's believe it. Amen. And let's not take our Bible and say, oh, this is fulfilled, rip the page out and throw it away. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction. Why? That the man of God may be perfect and thoroughly furnished for it unto all good works. Let's believe what this Bible says. Come on, say amen. Amen. Believe what the Word of God says. If God be for us, do you believe it? My God shall supply according to. Do you believe it? If God be for us, does God love you? I will never leave you or. Do you believe it? Amen. You see, why do you believe it? You've experienced him. Yes. It's part of your life. Hallelujah. That's taking the word of God and conforming your mind and your thought process to the things of God and not the things of the world. You know, I don't know about you, but I have to deal with my thinking sometimes 3 or 4 times a day. Somebody does something to you that you don't like? You what? Down here, he wants to punch him. Anybody want to punch him? No. Who's not going to answer the question now? How many honest believers do we have in the house? Come on, come on. In everything give, for this is... come on now. In everything... For this is concerning you, all right? Any question about giving thanks for the things you're going through? How many of you know it's tough to give thanks sometimes? Amen. It doesn't say give thanks for it. It says give thanks in it. Yes. Whole different ball game. All right? Now, let's go to Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah chapter 61. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn." And we know in Luke chapter 4, Jesus picks up this scroll and he's in the meeting with the people, and he picks it up and reads it, and he says this is talking about him. And then he goes on in verse 3, he says, "To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning." And then it inserts right in here in the Word of God, the garment of what?
Praise
for what? The spirit of heaviness. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that they might be glorified. And this word heaviness is talking about obscurity. It's talking about darkness. It's talking about despondency. It's talking about several things, and it's dealing with the spirit of darkness that would want to come upon you. The Word of God teaches you that you have a garment. It's called praise. And praise is a garment that you wear. You can't see it. It's something that you practice, okay? You practice it, and when you practice it, you're going to find that you will continually be living and feasting on God and His presence, and you will be changing your thought process and your thinking and your mode of life to the worship of God, and you'll find that gives you an answer. It's one thing that God has given you. There's many more, but that's one thing that God has given you that you can wear and practice every day to come against darkness that would try to come upon you. Darkness. There's 9 different ways that you can actually praise God. One of them is, we practiced it this morning. You clap your hands. Why do you clap your hands? Somebody talk to me. Is it to keep time with the music? Why is it? What is it?
It's an outward expression of the joy.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Anybody else got an answer? It feels good. I like that. That's good. You bet. It feels good. Showing my love for the Lord. That's good. Okay. Yes. Where do you find that at?
Psalms. I don't know which one.
47. Verse 1. Stand up and read it, please. Go ahead and read it. It's underlined. All right. Clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is terrible. He's a great king over all the earth. When you are clapping your hands in the congregation, you are declaring that there is a king in the house.
Amen.
You're not keeping time with the music. You're not doing a lot of things, but what you're declaring is that God the King is in the house. Oh, I don't know about you, but I'm pretty excited about that. God's in the house. Come on, God's in the house. God's in the house. God's in the house. If you go over to London, and the Queen comes by and all the royalty come by, what are they doing? Why? Because the authority is there. The king is there. Our leader is there. When we come in and we worship, amen, we put on the garment of praise. Part of his clapping, we're declaring, God's in the house. Oh, God's in the house. When God is in the house, anything can happen. All right, now let's go to something else. You must know this one too. You got the last one. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
I know you are. What does this mean?
Surrender. Yada.
Surrender.
You got a scripture for that? You're holding your antennas up. What, somebody else said something here. What did you say?
The word, it's one of the words in Psalms, or seven praise words, and that one's yada. That means lift one's hands unto the Lord. What it means is, I surrender to you, God. There's nothing I can do. You're my only hope. You're my only salvation. And it's total, complete surrender and adoration to that fact.
Okay, so this man's going to surrender to God. How many of you like what he just said? When you go into the book of Ecclesiastes, it says this: may the lifting of our hands be like the evening sacrifice. Okay? And what you're really doing, he's talking about surrender. That's good. When we lift our hands to the Lord, what we're doing is we are lifting our heart to God, and we are presenting our hearts to God. And when you stand there and say, Lord Jesus, I love you. Lord, I worship you. What you're really doing, you are verbalizing what is in your heart, and you're presenting it to God, and you're just surrendering yourself to God. You are giving yourself to God. So lifting of your hands is more than surrender. It is more than submitting to God. It is a presentation of yourself, of your innermost being to God himself, and you're giving it to him.
Yes.
Now, let's talk about the heart. How many of you have been water baptized? All right, good. One of the things that happens in water baptism, there is circumcision of heart that takes place. So when I present my heart to God, and I'm lifting my heart to God, I am lifting a circumcised heart which says to God, here I am one of your covenant believers. I'm in covenant relationship with God. That's just a couple of things, okay? The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Listen, darkness has really raised its ugly head. Church, I want to encourage you. We are the saints of the Most High God. Listen, the Bible says that the church is the pillar and the ground of truth. Timothy tells us that. There will be no truth in the earth unless the church maintains it. I'm going to say it again. There will be no truth in the earth. The federal government is not there to present truth. It is the responsibility of us as the believers of God, amen, not only to read this word, but we practice this word, and it becomes the standard of life, and that is, we are the ones that are going to, we are the ground, the foundation, and the pillar that the truth of God, amen, will reside in the earth. So we have a great responsibility.
Amen.
We have a great responsibility. But you got a garment. Use it.
Amen.
Use it. You hear what I'm saying? Use it. Don't let things overtake you. Don't let things swallow you up. No, use just this one little thing that I've given you. The garment of praise. Practice it. We're not coming in here just to have a good song service. We're actually, amen, we're the priests of God coming in here to minister to God.
Amen.
That's what we are. I'm giving you 15 messages in one. Can you tell? Amen. Can you stand to your feet? Now, Kitty read us the scripture, Psalms 47:1. talks about clap your hands and shout unto God with a voice of triumph, for God is terrible. Okay, he's the great king. I want us to declare that we have a terrible God against our enemies. And we have a victorious God against our enemies. He went to the cross and he openly made a display of darkness and an openly display of the kingdom forces of darkness. Amen. And they are under our feet. We don't need them to be sailing around over our head. What sails around our head is the praises of God. Come on, say amen.
Amen.
Lord, let's lift our hands. Lord, we lift our hands. And when we lift our hands, God, it's surrender. But yet it is, amen, a presenting of our heart to you. So, Lord, we present our heart to you. And, Lord, we make some declarations this morning. God, you're God. Tell him he's God this morning. Tell him, God, you're God. Tell him he's terrible against our enemies. Tell him you love him this morning. Lord Jesus, we love you this morning. Now let's declare that he's in our midst by clapping and shouting to God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. 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 Hallelujah. Come on, just keep clapping. Keep clapping. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Gross darkness will cover the earth, but the glory of the Lord will rise upon us.
Yes.
Where great darkness is, there's going to be greater light. Why? Because, Lord, you made us people of light, and we live in the kingdom of light. And, Lord, I pray for the house, everyone represented, those who come here but may not be here this morning. I pray, God, that the anointing of God, Lord, would rest heavily upon your people. Lord, I pray when darkness would seemingly try to crowd in, Lord, they would raise up a standard and say, no, I'm not having this. I'm not living this. I'm not thinking this. I am thinking peaceful thoughts. I'm thinking victorious thoughts. I'm thinking plenty thoughts. I'm not thinking less, because I serve a God, amen, that is victorious in all of that. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen. Give a high five to somebody. Amen. Brother Steve.
God bless you, church. If you need prayer, these altars are open. Please be sure to greet Dean and Judy and have an awesome afternoon. Take care.